Hey, Lighthouse Church family, I am praying that today's message will bless you.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Revelations chapter 21 from verse 9. And again, if you're here for the first time, this is a very long series. It began in January, and here we are, part 28. I don't know if you've ever had a pastor preach for so long on one thing, and it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the reason it's so long is we've been going through the book of Revelation from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday to Wednesday. There was a few breaks as other people preached, and we were away a few Sundays. But I just thank the Lord this morning for his word and the revelation of Jesus Christ to us, and what has been written in this final book of the Bible. And so here we are in Revelation 21 from verse 9. And just to give a little bit of a title to the message, the believer's final destination. The believer's final destination. For the believer, this is where we will be at. I don't know how long the great white throne judgment will take, because it's going to span every unbeliever that ever existed from the time of Adam to the last person. And so there's going to be court, and it says that whoever's name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a judgment day coming. Say, Pastor, I don't want to be frightened. I don't want to be manipulated. I don't want to frighten you. I don't want to manipulate you. I want to tell you what the Word of God says. So take it. And you will make a decision. I'm going to either be there or I won't, when it comes to this chapter 21 of Revelation from verse 9. Amazing. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. It's interesting that the Lamb is mentioned a number of times in this chapter. And it talks about, whenever you hear or read the word Lamb, it's talking about Jesus' sacrifice for us. It's always referring to the action and the act of his love to us in his death for us on a cross so that we can have life. His death for our life. The Lamb. He says, do you want to see the Lamb's wife? I want to show you the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And again, the detail that is given regarding this city, it's not here on earth yet, but it will one day be here. It's going to come, according to the word, it's going to be coming down to the earth. And this city, there are details given about it which are quite interesting. And it's starting with even colors. It says, having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Jasper has a variety of colors, or can have a variety of colors. Purple, others blue, some green, others the color of brass. So I don't know if there's going to be this shimmering, like maybe like the northern lights, where there's all these different colors, I'm not sure. Like, again, to try to comprehend this, to try to visualize this, and I'm sure that John, as he's writing these things, it's like, how do I express this? He's doing his best to express something that is beyond him, that he's never seen before. And to me, I'm thinking, John, you're doing a good job of it. You're doing a great job of what you're seeing and being obedient to the Lord to write these things down. For us, to know our future, to know our eternity, to know this final destination. Amazing. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates. Now, this is the Lamb's wife, is a city. Apparently, there are cities, I've heard, there's entire cities in China that have been built, and they're totally empty. There's nobody there. They've got roads, they got everything. I don't know if that's true. Who knows what to believe these days on YouTube or whatever. But it's empty. This city will not be empty. It's being built. Can you imagine that this creation that we are experiencing in a fallen world, the beauty of this earth in different places, you go and it's like, oh my goodness, we have tens of thousands of people that have come and are here today that are not part of the population of Niagara Falls. But literally tens of thousands have come just for the falls, to see the majesty of the falls, the thunder of the falls. This is a broken and a fallen world that took 6 days, literal days, 24-hour period of time for God to speak into existence. Can you imagine 2,000 years of construction and another 1,000 years of construction? 3,000 years plus of this city being built and constructed. Amazing. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, not that the city would need this high wall or these gates. And 12 angels at the gates, so at each gate there's an angel, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So the gates have the names of the 12 children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. So there is a spacing between these along this city, and we'll see the dimensions of the city. And so there's three gates, I would say, evenly spaced. So we're talking like hundreds of miles apart, these three gates on each side. It's 12 gates in total. And this city will be here on this refurbished earth, this fresh, new earth that will be here. There will be a transformation. I mentioned the other day on Wednesday that the oceans, right now 75% of the earth's surface is covered with water, salt water in the oceans. There's going to be a change. There's not going to be oceans. There's going to be streams and rivers and lakes, and the majority of the land that's what the land will be, with these streams and these lakes, even on the outside of the city. Now, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So I'm trying to visualize this. So there's 12 foundations on the bottom. When I was going to school for about 8 years of my teaching career, that one school that I was at, I had to go right past where the embassy suites are right now. And there were days, because it took a long time for the embassy suites to be built, and most of it had to do with the foundation. And so they went down deep. And so I'd be going by, I could look at the falls on the right, and on the left I could see this huge cavity where the foundation was being put in. And also there's parking there underneath, a parking garage underneath as well. But this bottom these foundations, if you don't have a good foundation, as we read in Luke chapter 8, if you don't have a good foundation, the storm comes, the floodwaters raise, the wind beats against the house, and great is the fall, because the foundation is on sand. It says that the wise man built his house on a good foundation. The storm comes, doesn't impact the wise man. And the wise man, Luke 8 verse 8 is this, the wise man is the man that hears my voice and does what I say. So a lot of people may hear the word of God, but they don't do the word of God. The Lord says, your house is going to come down. The house of your life will crumble in the face of the storm. As we do hear what the Lord says and do what the Lord says, we will have a solid foundation. 12 foundations are mentioned here, which are they have on them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the 12th one being Matthias. So he took Judas's place. And I didn't look at all the names and what they meant, but Matthias means gift of God, was the last one, gift of God. And the amazing thing is that they have these different colors, and we'll get to that. Verse 15. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. So this gold reed is a measuring device. The city is laid out as a square. Everybody knows what a square is? Basically, its length is as great as its breadth. So whatever the length of one side is equal to the other side, is equal to all four sides are the same length, and it's in a square. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Does anybody, what would be the first question you might ask with 12,000 furlongs? What's a furlong? So a furlong is roughly 600 feet. 600 feet. Or I think it's 185 meters. Don't quote me on that one. But 600 feet. I'm very used to using a measuring tape, not in so much in millimeters or centimeters, or usually just it's my generation was still using feet. So we use feet and inches. I know what a quarter is. I know what an eighth is. I know what a 16th is to measure. Well, here we have 600 feet, and it's the city is being measured. So 12,000 times 600 divided by 5,280, which is the length in miles, works out to 1,363 miles in length. Now, I mentioned the other day 1,500 miles. According to furlong, not quite 1,500 miles, but it's close, very close. And I just calculated this morning, and this number, 1,363.6363, repeated. What is 6, the number of a man. So the number of man is 6. All right? But here there's a 3 in it. I like the fact there's a 1 first. 1,363.636363. This thing of to be one by the 3, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and man intertwined, goes on for infinity. This, if you calculate this number, just keeps repeating, all right? 6363. Anyways, that's what I saw in this number. This is not a theology or some whatever that you guys are going to say, hey, this is what Pastor Dave is preaching, and this is the theology. But I'm just saying that's the number, okay? So do the math. 12,000 times 600 divided by 5,280 is 1,363.63 repeated. Its length and breadth and height are equal. If you go up to the highest mountain on this planet, so we're talking in the 30,000 range, I think in the Himalayas, Mount Everest. Somebody can get me the height of it. I think it's in the 30,000s. But when you get to the very top, one of the issues is not just the cold, but what's the other issue? Is breathing. There's very little oxygen. We are not talking just 30,000. Like, that's about 5 miles up-ish. We're talking 1,500 miles high, and there's oxygen. I don't know how this city is. Are there going to be different layers in this city? I don't know. But the amazing thing is this. We won't have an issue when it comes to breathing. So it goes right in, right past the Earth's atmosphere, I think is around 200 miles above the Earth. That's the Earth's atmosphere. We're going like 6 times plus that in height. 200,000 feet. Sorry, is the edge of space, 200,000 feet. So this is going way past that. Way past that. We're going 1,300 plus, almost 1,400 miles up. Maybe I'm not. How much is that? 1,400 times 200 or times, anyways. Its length and breadth and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits. Again, the question would be, what's a cubit? What's a cubit? So it's basically, they're saying, and there's some debate on it, 18 inches. I think there's a royal cubit that Solomon used in the building of the temple, or the royal cubit is larger. It's about 22 inches or around 20 plus inches. They say that there's another cubit that's maybe around 25 inches. But this wall all around is, if we use 18 inches, is 216 feet high. So just to get an idea, today when you leave the church, the top of the peak of the church is 42 feet. The reason we know is because we had to get a variance because it was over, I think, 40 feet. So we had to get, will they allow for 42 feet? So all to say, this is like 5 times the height of the peak of our church. It's just the wall. So there's this wall that goes all the way around the entire city, and yet I think it's more a decorative thing to a certain extent, but it's not a defensive structure. It's not meant for defending against an attack or anything like that. 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its Let me just show you. The cubit was from here, from the elbow, all the way to the tip of the longest finger. So this distance from here to here was the cubit. So roughly 18 inches, okay? So there was a standardized cubit, which would be 18 inches. I'd be interesting to know. My arm is close to 18 inches. Some of you might be a little bit longer, but anyways. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. So it was made of pure gold, and it was clear as glass. So this clear gold city. The foundation was jasper. So the colors, I had mentioned them earlier. Sapphire, what color is sapphire? Blue. The third, chalcedony. It's a misty gray with blue, yellow, and purple. The fourth, emerald, a light green. The fifth, sardonyx, is red and white. The sixth, topaz, is a greenish yellow. Sixth is sardius, is like a flesh tone color. The seventh, chrysolite, is golden. Eighth, beryl, is a pale green. The ninth, topaz, is a greenish yellow. The tenth, chrysoprase, is green to gold. The 11th, jacinth, is dark blue, a very, very dark blue. And the 12th is amethyst, so which is can be violet or to purple in color. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. Where do you get pearls from? Oysters? Is it oysters? So think about it. There's oysters that create a gate that is what, half the height of the wall? The full height, is it bigger than the wall itself, the 144? But there's each gate is made from a single pearl. And that's a big oyster. So we haven't even begun to fathom the things that will be part of, that are part of heaven and that will come to earth in this New Jerusalem. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The entire city is of the Father and of the Son. My thing was, where's the Holy Spirit? There's no mention of the Holy Spirit here, where the Holy Spirit is. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. And the thought came to me right away, because it was bothering me. Why isn't the Holy Spirit mentioned here? It says in, let me find it here again. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, I like that, 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Every single person that is on the planet will be the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be dwelling in you. He's in us. The moment you ask, if you ask Jesus to forgive you your sins and come into your life today, not only did Jesus come in, but the Holy Spirit came in. You are, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the bodies that we have in the for eternity, and our body will be transformed from this body that ages and gets older and sometimes gets sick and is weak at times or whatever, to a glorious body, physical, that is perfect. We'll never have aches or pains or whatever suffering. We won't be aging. We will be eternal. And the Holy Spirit will dwell in us. Today we focused in a lot on the fact that he is holy. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. It's like, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God, to heed the Spirit of God that is within us and what the Holy Spirit speaks to us or may convict us with or may direct us with or teach us in or whatever. We need to heed the Holy Spirit that is part of our existence as a believer. Hallelujah. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved. And you might say, well, what? What's this? So the nations of those who are saved, I made a little note here. The sheep nations shall walk in its light. So these sheep nations that are talked about in, I think it's in Matthew 24, there are going to be nations that don't follow the Antichrist. And so there's a judging, and there's going to be nations then that exist even to the end during a 1,000-year reign. And there's going to be that deception in the last bit where Satan, who had been chained for 1,000 years, will be released. And it says they'll surround the holy city, Jerusalem, not this city here. But not everybody is going to be deceived by the enemy. And so those that are left, there's going to be an increasing in the population of the earth. I don't know if you can remember. I remember in the 1970s that the earth's population was 3 billion, around 3 billion, give or take. That was in the 70s. Today, we're at 8 point something billion people on the face of this planet. Can you imagine as there's a continued development of people or an increase of people over the next 1,000 years, how many people will be here on this planet? And there will be those that don't care for the Lord Jesus as he rules. And there are those that will say, hey, yes, finally, we have somebody that will do politics properly and will govern the entire globe is who Jesus will be. He will rule all the nations with an iron rod, as in, no, there's not going to be unrighteousness. Or if there's an attempt of unrighteousness, there's going to be a dealing with it. This is during the 1,000-year reign. This is after the 1,000-year reign. So, so the nations of those who are saved and the kings walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. So basically, the economy outside of the city itself, they're bringing their glory and honor into the city. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. Now, there will be outside of the city, there will be night and day. Okay, just so outside the city, there is night and day. It says, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. So, verse 27. But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. In fact, every single person that is on the planet will be followers of Jesus Christ. Again, a distinction of those that are in the city and those that are outside of the city, being the ones that are probably increasing in number during the 1,000-year reign. So that's, anyways, okay, let me just move quickly here now. The Lord desires for each and every one of us to be with him. He says, let not your heart be troubled. This is just a few hours before you go to the cross. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's what's being built in the Father's house. Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. The Lord is preparing a place for every single one of us in this, not just heaven, but that will be in this New Jerusalem, this city. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. There is no other way to get to be in this city other than through Jesus Christ. To be even included on the new earth is only through Jesus Christ. It is only through Jesus Christ. The only way to get to the Father when we die, should the Lord tarry, is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. All the other religions, there is no other religion where the key figure has died for humanity. Not one. Only one, which is Christianity, where the God of the universe, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were there to say, hey, we're going to create a being in our image and our heart and desires that they would be eternally with us. Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you're here today, there is no other way. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you spend time even here in the church. This church can't save you. We can give you the message of Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. You need to accept him. The church can't save anyone. But we preach a gospel, a good news, that as you grab a hold of it, you are saved. So church attendance doesn't save us. It's our faith that saves us, our faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. The message needs to go out. Listen to the prayer that Jesus prays. This is John chapter 17, verse 20. This was prayed 2,000 years ago and includes you and me as believers. So he's praying for his disciples that were going to experience him going to the cross. They were going to experience this thing of being scattered. They would experience him dying, being buried. They would also experience him being raised to life. But now he comes to the end of his prayer. That whole chapter is basically the prayer of Jesus. And he prays now for all believers. He says, I do not pray for these alone. I'm not just praying for the ones that are here now, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. As their word goes out, there's going to be others that will believe in the Lord Jesus, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Let me read that again. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So Saturday mornings now, and it's been going on for a while, but it's becoming very regular. Every Saturday morning, there's a going out, going forth. And there's a meeting at what time? 9:30? 9:30, and to go out and speak the gospel to those that haven't heard it, that come to our city. So there's this reaching out. There's another group that is here at 9/11 praying on Saturday morning. We're praying that God will do a work. I would love for you to come and join us, whether it's here in prayer for an hour, hour and 15 minutes to pray for those that are going out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there would be a contingent of us involved. Either way, whoever you get in contact with, that we would speak Jesus. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. We need to let the world know that. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. So here the Lord is praying. He's praying for his, not just his disciples, but he's also praying for us that would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a foe that would come against us. And the beautiful thing is, Jesus, while he was still on this planet, said to Peter, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Not on Peter, as some say, oh, this says he's going to build his church on Peter. No, on this rock, he is the rock. "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." That there would be a work accomplished through us before the Lord returns. We have on Friday, June 19th, Jesus Festival, or Worship in the Wild. It's less in the wild at this point. But Jesus Festival, Friday, June 19th at 6 p.m., and starting on Saturday, the next day, the 20th, at 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So Friday evening, and there's going to be all, come. Parking may be an issue. It's going to cost you for parking, but it's free to get in. So carpool, so you're not spending a lot of money. We'll see if there's anything else we can do, but come and bring somebody with you on these 2 days, the Friday and the Saturday. We want to lift Jesus up. We need to lift Jesus up. Now listen, you don't have to wait till the 19th and 20th to lift up Jesus. We can lift him up here. "If I am lifted up," Jesus said, "now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say?" This is John 12, verse 27. "Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken." Jesus answered and said, "The voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. If I could have the worship team just come quickly. We lift up the Lord. We can lift up the Lord in worship. When we gather together here, you can worship the Lord on your own, with your mouth and sing and exalt him. You can worship the Lord in who you are, in your actions, and in your attitudes, in your motivations, with your intentions. Lord, let me be like you. Let me be holy before you. And so there's an opportunity to lift Jesus higher. As we lift him up, it says he will draw all men to himself. So we can do that in worship, but we can also do that in witness. So this expanding from worship into this thing of witness in who we are. Am I a witness for Jesus Christ in who I am and the things that I say? Do I take the opportunities to share Jesus with others? Listen, if you are willing to share Jesus with others, The Lord will open up the doors for that to happen. This past week, I had so many different opportunities. In fact, there are things coming up very quickly. And it's like, Lord, thank you for the opportunities to touch people's lives that are broken and hurting. I was in the hospital for different people 6 times this week. And this past week, yesterday, so one was in St. Catharines. There was one in Hamilton. I went twice to Hamilton to visit this individual. 2 in Welland. 1 dying with infection. To be able to speak life and hope. Another one totally devastated, weeping and crying, mentally tormented, and just saying, God, you have to do something. It's like, I can't do anything. There's nothing that I can do, but the one thing that I can do is pray for that individual, and as I pray for them, that God can do the work that I can't. You know, and I found amazing, there were so many people at the Welland Hospital yesterday that they didn't have enough rooms, they did not have enough beds. And the amazing thing was this, I don't know, so here I am in the emergency ward, right by the desk. They had beds lined up in front of the desk where all the doctors, nurses, or whatever are stationed. And so I'm talking to this man who is so devastated by life. And it's not just been a few days. We're talking decades of his life. It's like, I don't even want to live anymore. One of the staff, most of the time I just spent listening, but then to point him to Jesus. This staff came and brought me a chair. Here, sit down. I felt this hand on my shoulder. Next thing I know, there's a chair there. And so part of it was, I want to pray for miracles to take place. He says, I've been sitting here now for I don't know how many hours. I think it was 9 hours. I've been here all this time. There's no doctor that's come to see me. As I'm saying, we got to pray for miracles, the doctor comes at that moment and says, hey, come on, I want you to go to another bed. I want to go over what's going on in your life, what's happening in your body, what's happening with you. And he had just finished saying, you know what? The doctors, they can't do anything, or they don't want to listen. And here this young doctor was saying, tell me what's going on with you. What's going on with your body? And there was like, we need to do an MRI today or tomorrow. And the next day, we need to have it done immediately. And it was like, God, you're answering prayer even as it's being spoken. Hey, this is what we're going to pray for. The Lord is answering prayer. Let me just say this. If you are willing to be used by the Lord, Lord, use me. You will be used by the Lord. If you're operating in fear, it's a spirit. It's a spirit of fear. The Word of God says that He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, which is the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit He gives us, of power and of love and of a sound mind, that we can interact with others. I just say, thank you, Jesus, because the Lord wants to work through you. Do you know that the Lord worked through Judas as well? Judas did miracles. There were 2 Judases that were his disciples. One was Judas Iscariot that betrayed him. But even Judas went out and did miracles as the Lord sent them out by 2s at the very beginning. I'm not saying that you're a Judas, but what I am saying is this. If you're willing to follow Jesus and to be used by Jesus, Lord, let me bring others to you because I want the final destination of my neighbor, of the stranger on the street. I want the final destination for them to be part of the New Jerusalem, of an eternity that is beyond what we can possibly imagine. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man that which God has prepared for those that love him. I just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your tremendous love for us. And for those that still don't know you, even to the point of those that are enemies of the cross, his heart is for those that are enemies of him to have reconciliation with him. It's like, yes, Lord, let it be through us. Can we stand together? Hallelujah. A lot of times we cry out to the Lord. Maybe this morning you need to cry out to the Lord. The last verse, Revelation 21, verse 27 says, but there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We need to lead others so that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we cry out to him. Maybe today, even as we worship, Lord, as I lift you up and exalt you, Lord, I'm including my brother or sister that doesn't know you. I'm including my mom or dad, my grandparents, my nephews and nieces. I'm including these different people. I'm including them in my time of worship to lift you up. Let me be that witness to them. In an acceptable time, I have heard you. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. And at this point, again, if there's anybody here that is not where they should be at, it's as simple as this. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Let there be your blood wash over me. You be not just my Savior, be my Lord. Be my Lord. Not my will, let your will be done. In Jesus' name. As we sing and as we close, I want you to feel free to come.
Hey, Lighthouse Church family, Pastor Joel here. I pray that today's message really spoke to you. And if it did, sound off in the comments below about what part specifically is really put on your heart. Maybe check out what other people are talking about today's sermon. I pray God's blessings all over you throughout this week. God bless.